Did your mother ever go to Mass?
No. My dad never either. They just, they, in fact, they didn't even get married by the church. They just got married by the civil, you know, I think in Mexico, by the court. And, no, they never. I remember wanting to go because of the rest of the kids were going. And my dad says, no, he says, you want to go to a Sunday school, you can go to that, but I don't want you going. He was really against the Catholic religion. That was his thing, you know.
Oh, I know, I wanted to ask you about school. And if it was hard not knowing what the customs were here or you know, having one way of life at
yeah.
home and another way of life at school, or if that's what it was.
Well, like I remember Christmas, we wanted a tree, a Christmas tree. So being children, we didn't know where to go get one or what the deal was. But we knew what they looked like. Mm-hmm. So I remember this neighbor on the other street had instead of a fence, he had a row of pine trees, tall pine trees. So at night we went down there and cut a big branch off and we took it home and we decorated it, you know. We're just trying to make do, you know, trying to make it like Christmas. Mm-hmm. And we made our own decorations and everything. I don't remember how, but we just did.
Was Spanish always spoken at home?
Yes. Mm-hmm. In fact, I don't think my mother, she learned a little bit, but not much.
Mm-hmm.
And my dad, he talked mostly Spanish. But ever since we've gotten away from the house, we don't talk it. Mm-hmm. My husband and I, we talk English all the time. In fact, we don't know how to express ourselves that well in Spanish. Get by with it, but that's about it.
What about in your classes, were there very many other Mexican kids?
Yes, there was about, there was always about 3 or 4 or 5, you know, as you can see by the pictures here that there were some other girls, boys. Must have been about, I would say in my class, maybe about 6.
Mm-hmm.
So there was quite a few in those for those days. Mm-hmm. You know. And we didn't get around to go out too much, but the only thing we remember is going to see Old Ironside. You remember Old Ironside? And they had it on display, and all the mothers got their cars, and they took us to see it. But we never got out of that area too much. We just mostly stayed there until we started getting older and could go downtown in the streetcar, you know.
Did your parents go out very much?
Oh, let's see. Well, before the Depression, I remember going out to downtown, to Lincoln Park,
mm-hmm.
and we'd go to a Mexican movie and out to eat. I remember sitting in a Dayton restaurant eating. And but after the Depression, we didn't... but the only place we went is Saturday day movies, you know, those days you went to the movies a lot. And... that's about it.
Did they go out alone, together,
Oh, maybe shopping, or... I don't remember them going out too much. Maybe they'd go out shopping, you know, get the groceries or get shopping. We didn't have a car, see, for that. My dad had a bike, an old bike. That's what we used when he went to work, to the ranches around in the area, you know. There wasn't much traffic in those days.
Mm-hmm.
You know, hardly anybody had cars. I don't think my dad ever learned how to drive. A lot different world in those days.
Did your mother get involved in anything outside her home and family?
Well, just about what I told you about that teacher that used to come and have that adult time. But no, aside from that, she stayed home. Oh, she did one thing. She did to make a little money. One time, she took care of a little baby, babysat it. Cause it's a very complicated story. But anyway, she took care of it. And they bought it to her, and she took. In fact, we had it in our house for about maybe 6 months.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it was 24 hour. I mean, we just took it into our house, and I remember her doing that. It's the only thing I remember her doing to make some money. You know, after we moved to Hawthorne.
Mm-hmm.
But there was no jobs, you know.
You said that your cousins came from Oakland and moved in with you. Mm-hmm. What was that like?
Well, we didn't have a living room anymore. I think they must have had their bedroom set shipped over, because they had it in our living room. And they lived about there 6 months. And, it was very nice, because my dad and my cousin, who was his nephew, they liked each other a lot. And I think that was the only family that my dad had here, so he was really crazy to have him there. And his wife was very nice, very sweet and very nice. And I remember them taking us shopping downtown and bought us each an outfit. Oh, a beautiful dress. Mm. And I guess they were kind of trying to pay back for us taking them in. And, well, a very enjoyable time. We just didn't have a living room. Mm. You know, they had the bedroom, and then the kitchen was big enough where everybody could get together there. And as soon as they got settled, they rented a little house and they moved out. We still were all good friends. No problem. She didn't have any children and couldn't have any children, so she was real good to us. We were really crazy about her, you know. But and I had an uncle that moved in with us too. My mother's brother came from Mexico, mm-hmm. and he must have been about 18, and he just came and stayed with us. And he stayed there till we grew up and got married, and in fact, he died there. Mm-hmm. I mean, the house that was there originally, then my mother and dad bought another house, and he lived there. And so when my brother got the property, my husband told me, well, he said, there's a big lien on it, because my dad being in the hospital, my mother being in the hospital in general, they put a lien on your house. Mm-hmm. There's nothing free. And so my brother said, I'll take it over and clear it, rent it out and clear up the title and everything. And then he said, I'm going to knock it down and build some units, which he did. That's what he did. So my husband told me, well, sign over yours. There's not that much, he said. And he says, we might get into trouble arguing over what to be done to sell it. And he said, just sign your cap over to your brother. And, you know, that's what I did. Mm-hmm. And he took care of it.
Did your uncle ever marry?
No, he was the type that always had some woman living with him. I don't know what it was that he had against marriage. He just never wanted to get married. And I don't know how many women he had. He had one that was there a long time, and, you know, I would consider that was his wife, because mm-hmm. she couldn't have any children. She always had him stillborn, mm-hmm. and but he was like a father to us. Because then after my mother died, my dad took to drinking a lot, and I guess he got to be an alcoholic. And so my uncle, I think that's one of the reasons he stayed, was because he had to look out for us, you know. And that's who. Actually, he was, I mean, he never was bossy and telling us what to do, but we knew that he was there, you know. Somebody was watching us, and we better shape up, you know. Mm-hmm. And I just wonder back how we came out of it, my brother and I, without any getting in trouble or, you know. Like my brother, he came out of it. He's lives in Torrance. He's got a nice family, 3 daughters, and they're married. And he's got a good job at Northrop. He's a buyer, you know. He climbed up the, mm-hmm. and he's very active in his church. He doesn't drink. He won't even drink a beer, and because he hated it. He hated it, so he used to just throw it down the drain all the time. And I got married, had a daughter, and she's a teacher, you know. We all came out of it all right.
You were very young, both of you, when you met
again. Yeah, I was 13, and he was about, I would say, about 10. And my dad was hardly ever home. He was always someplace drinking. In fact, he went to jail a couple of times for drinking. And it ended up killing him, you know. And but my uncle was there. And between the both of them, I guess somehow we came out all right.
Was your father gone a lot when your mother, before your mother died?
No. That happened afterwards. And it didn't happen right after. It just kind of build up to getting worse and worse, you know, like my husband.
Tell me what discipline was like in your house when you were young.
Oh, let's see. Well, we were let out to be out there free a lot. But if we ever did something wrong, we got spanked. I mean, they weren't on our back all the time, you know. They just until we got did something real bad, then we did it. They noticed us, and then we got it. Mm-hmm. You know, but toward the end, as we got older, I mean, I think that was mostly when we were younger that we got it. But afterwards, when we got bigger, we didn't. But you had a in those days, you couldn't if they called you, say I called you, and you had a you had to say "mande usted," and that in Spanish means "at your command." Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was polite. It was a polite. Respectful thing to say, you know. In other words, you didn't just say "what," eh, you know. You had a nice response, and you obeyed. I mean, you did. The only thing I did with a lot was nag, got my way.
Was one of your parents more strict than the other?
I think my mother. My mother was a little. It was childish things that you do that you get in trouble, like you tear your dress or you know. Something like that, but you got it. But I didn't get too spanked too much, but I got it every once in a while. Even if I ran off and came back later, he's still waiting for me. But as I got older, my dad was, especially after my mother died, of course he insisted that I cook and clean house and the things I had to do if I didn't get do it, you know, he got after me. Mm-hmm. But apart from that, he wasn't very strict. I think they let the kids alone a lot in those days. I mean, they didn't bug you so much.
What kinds of chores did you have when you were young and your mother was still alive?
Not too many. I hate to tell you what it was. I had to empty out the pot. Let's see. That was all.
Really?
Yeah, because you had an outhouse, and of course you couldn't go out at night, so you had one of those, and you had
that was your job,
of course. But aside from that, my mother didn't. In fact, which was bad later on, because when she died, I didn't know how to cook or anything. I didn't know how to do anything.
And you had to take over.
Well, try to, you know, try to. I don't know how well I did. I look back, and I just don't know, you know. I know my cousin used to come over and help me, you know, my oldest cousin. And we'd be making dough for the tortillas, and we had a, and my aunt would come and check and see how we were doing. So you know what we were doing with the dough? We were making little figures instead of making tortillas. Stuff like that, you know, I remember.
Did your brother have chores around the house?
Maybe bringing in the wood and things like that for the fire, chopping it. Oh, I remember feeding. They had to feed the chickens and stuff like that. Go get the eggs, things like that. Go get milk. Go for errands to the store, things like that. And what I hated was because they'd forget something and you had to go back as about 20 minutes, that fast, almost running to get it. So it was.
You said your father worked on the different ranches around.
Yeah.
What doing that?
Garden, agricultural work. Mm-hmm. But there wasn't too much of it because, as I told you, it was during that depression. So he's got little odd jobs here and there. So he really didn't get to work too much until after during the war. You know, there was a lot of work.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What kinds of things did you play when you were young?
Oh, we had, let's see, I remember, I had tea sets, you know, you had little dishes and plate house, and we had these, we used to get the little surfing dolls, and we'd dress them, and then we had, get the, you know, have you ever seen those matchbook boxes?
Mm-hmm.
Big one, big square? Well, we'd pull it out and make that into a cradle, and, you know, we had a lot of stuff, and then what we'd do, we'd look for pieces of glass. And then we'd make shelves out in the fields with, you know, put, it's always something. I remember playing hotel one time. Somebody had dumped a whole bunch of boxes, big crates boxes, and we decided we were going to make them into, mm-hmm. and stack them into rooms, and we put sacks for cover, with rocks holding a mm-hmm. sack down. And then we had the front desk where the, you know, you were the receptionist. And I remember somebody calling my brother, he's in one of the rooms, you know, and telling Ralph, he had a phone call, and he opened the sack, you know, the cover, and he said, what? And there were big big rock fell. Like broke his tooth. To this day, he's got a broken tooth. Well, that's what we used to play, things like that. Playing in the mud, in the rain. Nobody said nothing. We just took our shoes. Well, we just took our shoes off and went down there and played in the rain out there in the water. Nobody ever said nothing to us. Don't play. Don't do nothing. We just did it.
You said you played outside a lot.
Oh yeah. Mm-hmm. Out in the fields. There's a lot of fields around there. And we were always busy. Hated to come in to eat lunch.
Were there ever things that you weren't allowed to do or you were told not to do because you were a girl?
No, not that I remember. Not that I, like I tell you, they didn't pay that much attention to us. They just let us be.
Who were your playmates?
Some of these girls that I showed you the pictures of.
Did you mostly play with other Mexican
kids? Mm-hmm, yes, uh-huh. Mostly. Mostly. All the kids who were around in the body area. Mm-hmm. So, just my cousins, there was four of them next door, four girls next door, so I had plenty of somebody to play with. And you know, we still call each other about once a week and we see each other.
So.
Mm-hmm.
Did the boys and the girls play together?
Mm-hmm. They tried to, but I remember them trying to get crash our tea parties, but they were, I remember one time we had one of the brothers of one of the girls and he knocked all the things down, you know. We had to chase him off, you know. But, mostly girls together. Skate on one skate because you couldn't afford to. Yeah, I guess you've done some of these things too. I never learned how to skate because we only had one skate. And that's about it. We the street that was in our there, it was had no traffic. It was a tar street. So we could go out there and play, and in the fields there, just nobody to bother us. Mm. And there was a lot of hay, bales of hay that we used to love to climb, you know. And of course, Saturday was always going to the movies to see Laurel and Hardy and all those real good movies. We'd sell bottles to get money or something, somehow. It was only 10 cents in those days.
Mm-hmm.
So, I remember it as a fun time. I mean, you might not have had a lot of clothes and a lot of toys and stuff like that. But we had fun.
Were you prepared at all for menstruation?
No. That was, my mother was in the hospital. And nobody had ever said anything to us about it. And I remember at that time we were into tumbling, you know, trying to stand on our heads. And you know how you go through phases. So and doing cartwheels, and so my cousin and I, this girl, she and I were trying to outdo each other, and then my cousin says, Mom, her mother was around there, and she says, Mama, she says, Mary's got blood in her pants. And I said, I do not, you know, you're mad, you know, I dare, she tell me. And I didn't even know what it was about, but I was just denying it, whatever it was. And so her mother says, oh, real concern, she says, oh, really? She, you know, she really says, oh, my goodness, she says, so she says, she's got the two of us together. She says, I think you guys better know, you know, she started telling us. And a lot of old wives' tales, mm-hmm. you know, because she telling us you can't take a bath now here. And what else? You can't, what did she tell us? You can't take a bath, and you can't drink anything cold. Stuff like that, you know. And then she says, you got to use rags, old rags, you know. And I'm like, oh, brother, what a, you know, really holding me down. And I guess when my mother came out of the hospital, she must have told her, you know. I must have been about 11 or 12, something like that. See, my mother was getting sick in that time, and later on she went back and she died. And I think I didn't think anything of it. Just don't take a bath. For 4 days, 5 days, can you imagine?
I was going to ask you, what kinds of things then maybe you didn't do that you had done before? How it changed your life at all?
Well, I just followed her directions. I don't remember rightly. But I guess I started, that's when I started growing up. And, I know, I was more or less kind of tomboyish and I know it took me a long time to we didn't think of going out with boys or anything. Where my cousin, she got married, she was 18. I didn't get married until I was 25. So you can tell from there that I wasn't too... But I remember getting the cramps real bad. And that was after my mother passed away. And I'd get the cramps real bad and had to go to bed. And I remember my dad making me hot. They had some plants, to make tea out of, some kind of herbs. And he'd make me some hot, real hot tea and bring it to me. Mm-hmm. And it worked. So I guess my aunt must have told him what to do, you know. So it was kind of a hard, kind of trying to grow up like that. A lot of mother, you know. And you bring me back a minute, I couldn't even remember all this back.
Was there very much of that, like herb medicine and home remedies and that kind of thing?
Oh, yeah, there are mints, you know, different mints and that they used to use. Yeah.
Do you remember some of them?
No. No, I know the one they called Thea Limon, that was a plant that looked something like that there, except it was solid color, and it, they used to cook it, make like a tea. It tasted like lemon tea. Mm-hmm. I really like that one.
Would you do home remedies rather than see a doctor in those days?
Yeah, I remember getting tonsillitis, another thing that they had. Oh, that was awful. You get some... I don't know if you've seen little green Mexican tomatoes. Mm-hmm. And they cook them and they grind them up real hot. And they make like pulses. Or what is it? And put it on the plants of your feet. That was for a tonsillitis. I used to have that real bad. And they were putting that. You know, the only time they called the doctor was for birth and really something serious, mm-hmm. something bad. And they used to come to the house. I remember... my uncle's, that wife that I tell you he had, that she had a stillborn, she had it in the house there, I remember. I came home from lunch from school, and the doctor was there. And I remember him fixing the bed, putting a lot of newspapers, mm-hmm. you know. Mm-hmm. Then it was born stillborn. And then I remember going to the mortuary with her to pick out a little coffin. Mm-hmm. What a thing to take your little girl to.
Do you remember how you reacted to that?
No, we just took it all and tried. And then, I guess she wanted somebody to accompany, somebody for moral support. Mm-hmm. And so nobody would go with her, so she took me. Mm-hmm.
What would happen around death when someone died?
They had that, they bring the body to the house at night, and they have a wake. And
What would the wake be like?
Well, just people there, box open, I mean the coffin open, people there, and they'd serve Mexican bread with hot chocolate. I look forward to that. And
sweet bread?
Yeah, Mexican sweet bread, and just they'd stay up all night practically, and then the next day when the hearse would come, then everybody'd go, you know, in their cars, and there was a certain cemetery where everybody got buried, mm-hmm. you know. And I think it's my mother's buried there, and it's up there by above May Company, up that way. And everybody would go. It was the same cemetery. If anybody died in the barrio that went there, and now they're all going to Holy Cross, you know, over here at Culver City. To me, it was exciting times, you know, it'd be something happening, you know, mm-hmm. unless it was in your old family, then you didn't like it, but it was just like a party, I guess. Get together. But, you're bringing back all these memories that I can't even remember myself, you know, don't think about mm-hmm. on them. We were just there, I mean, we were just growing up and... We didn't have much to say about what's happening, but we just survived, I guess. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What was your mother's sickness?
Oh, she ended up with appendicitis, of all things. She ended up with peritonitis. What was happening was during the, depression. And in those days when you got sick, and I guess if it wasn't an emergency, you had to wait for a bed because everybody was going to the general hospital. So she just had to wait, and finally that they called her, that they had a bed for her. And she took the streetcar to go down there. And before she left, she, I guess I'm even the oldest, she told me, I don't know if she had a premonition or what, but she said, I want you to take care of your little brother. And she said, and if you ever buy, I don't know, why would she say this? If you ever buy any clothes for yourself, buy some for him too. He says, whatever you, if you buy something new for yourself, buy him something. And she said, and see that he eats and watch him, take care of him. And I guess she didn't have to say that too much because she knew I was crazy about my brother. I was always taking care of him. And she went in the streetcar. You know, my dad had to go to work that day. She went in the streetcar, and I never saw her again. She was getting ready to come home. It was, I remember they called my uncle for blood because he gave blood to her. You know, I guess it was the same. And then they called again, and they said she had gotten peritonitis. And they went, and when they came back, she was already dead. Mm-hmm. So I don't know whether it was carelessness there or was it too late or what. Because she ran home 2 feet to birth, you know. In these days, she wouldn't have died, you know. Anybody that can walk to get yourself there, you know. And so after that, it was really rough, you know. And, well, I've been good to my brother even now. He's good to me, too.
You said that she had been in the hospital a couple of years before.
Yeah, I don't know. One time I remember she had a, what they call a pregnancy in the tube. Mm-hmm. And I remember she had that. And you know, they don't, that was things I heard under the table. I was sitting there listening to all the conversation. And they never told us mm-hmm. why she was in there or anything. They just told me. And then after that, I kind of deducted that was what it was.
What was it like for you after she died?
Well, I had to be doing all the housework, taking care of my brother. I had to take over, and always envying everybody that had a mother, you know, because you don't. And it was just I had just come from grammar school into the ninth grade, and I remember and we needed uniforms, as you can see here. Some of the uniforms they had to wear. I was losing her. Do you know what losing her is?
Yes.
We had to wear a uniform like that. Imagine. It had to be with stripes. And to graduate, we had to have a white one with blue stripes. And I remember at that time we finally had made our first. We had in about our last year in grammar school. We had met these girls from Iowa. They were really they're so pretty. You know, our girls from Iowa are really pretty. And we got to be friends with them because I guess they were new to California, and we were the ones that were friendly to them. So we got to be great friends. And at that time, my dad, to console me, he had bought me a new bike, a brand new bike. So I guess he's trying to make up to me for my mother dying or something to make me feel good. And so we all had bikes. My cousin had a bike, I had a bike, and they had a bike. And we all go bike riding together a lot. So the mother told us, the little girls, they said, if you buy the material, I think we'll make you your dresses. Because we said, what are we going to do? We don't know, you know. We don't know how to sew. We don't, how are we going to get these uniforms? Especially right before, you know, graduation. So she made them for us. Mm-hmm. And so, okay, the summer went by, and we're going to high school, okay? Our freshmen, we get there. And we're still the same little girls that we were in grad school. And those girls had makeup on. They were it, you know, really pretty girls. They didn't have nothing more to do with us.
The girls from Iowa?
Yeah. Because they in the summer, they had blossomed out, you know, where we had just still the same little girls riding bikes to school. Mm-hmm. In fact, we rode our bikes to high school for about 2 years after that and a year after that. And to this day, I still like them and everything. I still think well of them, but I think, what happened, mm-hmm. you know? I guess they start getting their own friends and boyfriends and nieces, you know. She was sticking with this little Mexican girl that are, you know, they're still like they were in grammar school, you know, because we had, you know, we're still the same. And that was the last of them. So, but one thing my dad always would say, I want you to graduate. I want you to finish. In those days, they were equivalent to college, you know, because nobody graduated from, you know, especially if you're poor, you know. Yeah.